Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It is a busy Friday. I'm Kelly Kurtz with Logan Gordon. We've got Eric Francis coming up about 12:25. So we got to get going. Let's get right to it and get down to Florida and talk to Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Well, Lou, here we are on a Friday, the day after the Flames lose in overtime. We'll talk about that game briefly and then get on to the news of the day. But I hear you guys have been, you know, chasing around. There's been practice changes and all kinds of stuff. Where are you right now?
Just sitting at Amalie Arena as the majority of the players for the Flames are off the ice. And Jeff Ward is just about to do his availability. So the Flames changed their practice, had a half an hour little go around this morning, and they'll get ready to think about one of the best teams in the league to play tomorrow in Tampa.
Yeah, this has been an interesting road trip. It starts in Detroit, makes its way through Boston, and then into Nashville, and now Florida. It is, you know, different countryside, different teams, different traditions, but teams in different parts of where they're going. We'll talk about Tampa in just a little bit. But I assume that the mood in the dressing room on the plane last night was probably pretty down as things. You can't lose a game with less time remaining than they did when the Preds tied it up.
Well, really hard to process when you're 0.1 second away from winning, and a couple of tough things happen, as they generally do. Two or three different little breakdowns lead to the tying goal, and a bit of an errant play defensively that led to Granlund's game winner in overtime. But at the end of the day, Kelly, back-to-back nights now, they've played two of their best games of the year in the way that they have to play to be incredibly successful. They've had outstanding individual performances, none better. Michael Backlund is just at a level that I'm not sure I've ever seen him at in the last couple of weeks. Just a brilliant game. His line, so difficult to deal with. This, right now, more than ever, I have more confidence in what I think this team is now truly capable of going down the stretch after what I've seen in Boston and again last night in Nashville.
Yeah, because I don't want to hash on it too much, but I'll tell you, you know, I just hope and Flames fans hope that they just keep that same MO going into Florida, because I wouldn't change. Well, I change maybe the last second of the game, but other than that, you know what? Mistakes will happen. That's a desperate team, Nashville, but I think they're full marks. If you play most of the games like that, you're going to be in the playoffs.
It was a great hockey game. It had absolutely everything you could ever want. You know, a playoff game truly without being in the playoffs, and it was that way from the drop of the puck. Details for both teams were excellent. You know, it was highly competitive. The battles were terrific. It was hard to get ice. There were swings in the game. And I think one of the key moments, Kelly, was early in the second. And I give UC Saros a lot of credit, because the Flames had, even after scoring two goals to make it 2-1, I thought they completely owned the next 6 or 7 minutes. And it could have gotten to even 4 or 5. And he didn't let it happen. And then Nashville, it swung. It had everything: physicality, passion, emotion, great effort, some great saves, and then unbelievable drama. And it's funny, probably the last thing I'd say on the game, because I know you want to get to other things today, is the fact that, you know, it kind of balances itself out. The Flames with a miracle ending. The first time they went there with a late goal by Tkachuk to tie it, and then the one between his legs with a second to go in overtime, and it was like Nashville flipped the switch on them last night.
Yeah, it's one of those deals, and now it's off to Florida with two back-to-back day games, which Flames have had, you know, mixed results when they play early in the Eastern time zone, but we'll find out what happens. And Tampa Bay's reeling all of a sudden. They lose 4 in a row. I guess maybe if your best guess, because I know they're going to be pretty quiet about things, but tell me about Noah Hanifin. It looked like he was gutting it out a little bit there. What do you foresee him being able to play tomorrow?
Well, he was on the ice today for the half an hour that
the team practice, so I didn't see a whole lot of difficulty. I know that, you know, he's dealing with, I think, what's probably best called a mid-body situation. He tweaked something last night and made it through the game. And my guess is right now he should be fine from what I've seen. He was on the ice today, so that was a really good sign.
Okay. Now, we want to talk about the goalies because we got back-to-back games. David Rittich, maybe not his, you know, that wouldn't be on his resume tape that game, but he has been a soldier for the entire season. Now, what do you do? Do you go back to him or do you say, you know, maybe it's Cam's turn to go? I mean, it's a head-scratcher a little bit, isn't it? And a high-profile game against Tampa Bay.
Well, Cam has really been thrust into a number of these kind of situations. If you take a look at the year, both home and on the road, we may hear even in the next half an hour from Jeff. Not likely. He generally doesn't disclose that the day before. I would guess Cam. I would guess Cam. David's played three in a row. You know, Cam has really looked after business when he's been in these kind of situations. I don't think Jeff Kelly wants to go too long before getting him back in. You have a back-to-back situation, so we know this. They're going to get split. My guess right now is, and the drills today didn't really set up for having better knowledge, my guess is Cam tomorrow and David on Sunday and Sunrise.
Okay. Now, Peter Labardius is live in Tampa Bay as we get ready for a busy weekend for the Calgary Flames. They'll play back-to-back against both Florida teams. So that's coming up last night. I mean, Lou, you talk about, you know, it's a game of people and personalities, and hockey players are people too. And sometimes we forget that. And we had a kind of a personal moment last night with Bobby Ryan in Ottawa.
Well, if the Canucks were going to go down in this game, might as well make it an emotional one for the Ottawa Senators and their fans. And Bobby Ryan, you see the emotion overcoming him now. Played his first game back in Nashville. Senators lost that one 3-2. But look at this. In his return to Ottawa, and he's got action.
There we go. John Shorthouse on the call on Sportsnet Pacific last night as the Canucks lose 5-2. The story, obviously, is the comeback of one Bobby Ryan, who has had some demons and has had a crazy upbringing and some stories that are unbelievable. But you could just see the love for the fans and vice versa. It was something in Ottawa to see that after the fact on social media. It was something, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Beautiful humanity. He has been through a lot in his world. You've probably seen some shows and documentaries done on his life and all that he went through growing up in New Jersey. Fought through that. Was a second overall pick in the 2005 draft. It's crazy when I think about Bobby Ryan, Kelly. I called that game in Vancouver. It was the year of Sidney Crosby, who didn't actually play in the game. And Bobby Ryan got hurt in that game and had to leave the game. Still ended up being second overall. The career has had lots of ups and downs. And like a lot of humans, we have struggles. And we have a past. And we have coping mechanisms to help us deal with hard things. And both on the ice and off the ice, it has not been that easy. And the journey's not been easy, for sure, for Bobby Ryan. And he goes away, you know, receives some rehab, goes to work, comes back, does that. I mean, that is a beautiful human story of things reach the lowest of lows. You have to have courage to go get help. He needed help. He went to get it. My guess is with any form of addictive behavior, it requires daily work.
It does.
So to him, A, go through the process, which will be a lifelong process for him, and come back and have that kind of night, that just, to me, Kelly, that's life. That's life in a way that I just have never felt better about these kind of stories, because life is hard for people and it's challenging. And we, at certain points, all are faced to deal with things that become too much. And then we turn to other things to help us get by. And he's a good kid. I've always enjoyed dealing with him, going all the way back to that very rainy 3 days where I never thought it was going to stop raining leading up to the Prospects game in Vancouver in 2005. And that was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it was good to see, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. And speaking of Vancouver, let's go back 10 years to the date.
Vancouver. I don't mind this one.
Yeah, what were you doing 10 years ago, Lou? What were you watching?
Oh, yeah, what was I watching? Well, I was right in the building watching. So I know exactly where I was, because I was fortunate enough to call 8 men's Olympic hockey games during the 2010 Winter Olympics and watch 27 men's hockey games of the 30, including being in attendance for that wonderful day on a Sunday in Vancouver. It, you know, the two greatest sporting days of my life were February 24th, 2002 in Salt Lake City, and that one, February 28th, 2010, is next in line. And I was lucky enough to be in attendance for both of them.
It was something else. Now, we're going to hear from Sidney Crosby in the third segment of Hockey Central. So just for folks listening, make sure you check that out, because I know Hockey Night in Canada is doing a thing about it, because it was, I remember Peter Marr on the call. I remember hearing practically in my house in Calgary, Sid yelling at Iggy for the puck. It was just something so special, and there was drama. It was against the United States. It was on Canada's home soil.
The U.S. comeback. In
the U.S.
Too,
comeback,
right?
All that stuff. Lou, it had drama and then some, and I also remember how well the station did on that day. It was one of the highest rated things we've ever had in the history of the station.
Well, to be there in your own country, to have an opportunity to live a lifelong dream, as someone, as you guys both know, love international sports. And it was always, for me, having a chance to call the Olympic Games and call hockey, even though I wasn't fortunate enough to call any of Canada's games, but to be a part of it, to be there in Vancouver, you know, and I'll never forget being with two of my best buddies who were both in Vancouver. One of them was at the game. One of them was in visiting and couldn't get a ticket. And to walk the streets after and just feel the love and the pride. And it was a pretty amazing thing to go through. It was, it's when you think about being thankful in your life for opportunities.
Yeah.
Guys, I will never, ever be more thankful for 3 professional weeks than those. Because it's when I got that call from Rick Briggs Jude at my house in Calgary to say, you're going to get to call hockey at the Olympic Games, arguably the greatest phone call I've ever had.
Yeah, I
broke down.
Would have been cool, hey? Like just
it was unbelievable in the game. Canada 2-0 lead. Parisi scores late to tie it, and then you know again led to Crosby and Chris Cuthbert's great call, and our own dear Hall of Famer Peter Marr with an incredible call on the radio. And I think guys, Kelly, I'd be curious to know what you think. Our country has never been the same in terms of sports ever since. I think that was a real moment. That Olympic Games, I think, brought us together as a country, maybe unlike any other event I've ever been alive for. You know, 72 obviously was massive and for different reasons, but that was just, it was something else.
No, Lou, I think it transform sports? Because I think of Canada, and we're always very subtle about our patriotism and waving the flag and being prideful. And, you know, sometimes we have to get hit over the head by it. This was organic because the way people, you know, we had, you know, Scott Rintoul had the people, you know, texting in, say they were on a train and everyone just broke into O Canada and all that kind of stuff, coast to coast, and really Canadians all over the world. You can't buy something like that. So I think it was bigger than sports, guys.
Yeah, and as someone
way bigger.
As someone in his mid-20s, I can honestly say it's by far the biggest hockey moment of my generation.
I would think
By a mile. I've seen plenty of big hockey moments and that sort of stuff, but never anything that I can think of that every single person that I knew around me was waiting for. And to be in Calgary and to have Jerome be a part of it too made it that much more special here because look, there were only two guys that played for Canadian teams on that roster, Luongo, obviously in Vancouver, and then Jerome here. And for him to set it up, it's something I can remember exactly. You're hearing the Iggy and the crowd roaring from there. It's still stuck there.
And only 10 years ago, which it seems like it was like last week. So that's one of the deals.
Okay. Yes, that's the thing for me. Yeah. I can't believe it's already been 10 years since it happened.
And Lou, don't think about 10 years from now because it'll drive you crazy because I did that a little bit today. So don't do that, okay?
No, after the way my morning is gone, I don't want to think about 3 hours from now, let alone 10 years from now.
All right, we're in a hurry because we got to get Eric on in Charlotte. So let's do the mailbag.
Lou's Mailbag, brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse Primetime Menu. Two courses for $49, three for $59. Add a glass of house wine for $10. Daily before 6:30 and anytime on Sundays.
It kind of hit me as I was driving into work today and realized this is a hell of a prize. By the way, the tickets are probably close to $400 for the two of them. And a $100 gift card to Ruth Chris Steakhouse. That's
a pretty damn good night.
Like for radio like, contests, this is a good one, right?
We do this every week.
Holy smokes.
I'm not sure, to be frank, I'm not sure it gets much better at our radio station.
Well, it's pretty
cool. I don't
think
it does, Pete. Like, I don't think
good.
It does.
It's
you know, we have some huge ones and trips, but you know, for something that goes on a regular basis. This is pretty high end value. Yeah. Lower Bowl Flames tickets and as good a dinner as you can have anywhere in the city.
Yeah.
Well, we're not asking you to eat spicy wings or anything either. You just got to send in a good question and have us read it on the air.
It's very good. No. So Mike Harris, he wins today. So he's going to go see the Flames in Arizona coming up a week today, which suddenly is a massive game. So he gets the gift card so he can go to a Ruth Chris Steakhouse. And the question is cool. I like this one. With there being a copycat mentality in sports, example being, you know, tough like the Bruins or Kings when they won the Cup or having a skill-based top nine forward like the Pens did, what do you think the next template for success in the NHL is? Understanding what it might look like, what do you think the Flames might need to do to become that team that the others would love to emulate? So I thought that was a really good question from Mike.
It's a really good question, Mike. I agree with you. I don't think there's an exact science to it. It is copycat in nature, but I would say this. The best teams, in my opinion, are blend teams. You have to have high-end skill, but you have to have players with the ability to grind and get through that two-month marathon that is the Stanley Cup playoffs. But what I think you need more than anything is your best people, whatever their style and how they go about their business and the leadership and the culture of winning, your best people have to be at their best when it's at its most difficult point. And that's not for everybody. And to me, that in itself is a great separator. And the last thing I'd quickly add to it, because I know we got to run, is I don't see the sport with all the young players I watch at all different levels. I think we're going more speed, skill, and that's how teams are being built, and probably less in years to come of, you know, the physical grind heavy style that we've seen from, you know, especially when I think about LA's two championships.
And we can debate what we like better for another day, because that's like a whole show, right, boys? So we'll get to that a little bit later.
Not enough time.
Get to the website, enter, because
whatever your favorite coffee is, get your favorite blend.
Yeah.
That's what wins.
There you go. Get to the website, enter on contests, and who knows, you could be off to a Flames game. Simple as that. That's Lou's Mailbag.
Lou's Mailbag, brought to you by Roost Chris Steakhouse. Making celebrations unforgettable is one of their many specialties. You bring the occasion, they'll bring the perfection. Roost Chris Steakhouse.
Early start tomorrow, Flames game day live at noon. You're on with Pat at 1 for Flames warm-up, play-by-play with you and Derek at 2, and we do it back-to-back both Saturday and Sunday, Tampa and the Florida Panthers.
I should correct you.
What did
tomorrow
I say?
Will not be with Pat.
Oh, right.
It'll
that's
be
right.
The one and only Will Nault.
Will
Nault
is going to be doing it, right? We'll have details in a while. That's awesome. So look forward to that, as it'll be an early start. Just want to make sure people aren't looking for the Flames at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, because you won't find them. So unless you tape
it. No, you sure won't.
All right. Okay, Lou, thanks so much.
Okay. Have a good day.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Yes, it will be Will Nault tomorrow on a special show, as we'll go live from Hudson's. Ooh. down in Shaughnessy, as we have a final kind of push for our 50-50 with Kids Sport. So details coming up on that. So Will Nault, we'll do the thing tomorrow. Look forward to that, as Pat's on his way with some clients down to Florida. He'll do the game on Sunday
yeah.
from Florida. So that'd be kind of exciting. So the guys get to travel. You know where I went to Edmonton? I did get the trip to Edmonton, though. That was my...
I feel like you've been shortchanged again, sir.
Doesn't seem right. Okay, Eric Francis is in Charlotte. He is flying around following the team. We are going to talk to him next. I have 600 things to get to. So Francis and Eric Francis Fridays next on Sportsnet 960.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
Kelly Kirsch, Logan Gordon, as we make our way through a Friday right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Time to head to beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. He's transferring planes. He's Eric Francis and Eric Francis Fridays for the Beltliner. How are you, sir?
I'm doing better than the Flames are right now.
That game was something last night. It had a little bit of everything. The effort was there. The intensity was there. Mistakes on both sides were there. It was something else, and I you know, the guys were obviously down, because it felt like a shot to the gut. You can't stretch it out any further than that. 0.1 second left, and man, it's a tough one. But I guess when you're looking for points, you get a point on the road, and that's what you got to take from this.
It would have been far worse had that goal with a tenth of a second left come in and won the game in regulation. Yes, that would have been a bigger gut punch. It might have even felt worse because of the two goals that Granlund scored, and it just a double gut punch. But at the end of the day, they do get a point. You're right. And I thought that was one of the best efforts of the year for the Calgary Flames. Like, I really believe they deserved a better fate than that. But as I said on the TV broadcast last night, you know, going into the third period, the Flames were playing a phenomenal game. Yet, you know, with a team as talented as Nashville and as desperate as Nashville, they were just still one shot away from tying the game. And it turned out there were a whole lot more than just one shots. It was just a zoo. It was a crazy game. But anyway, at the end of the day, the Calgary Flames have to feel good about the way they're playing on this road trip. I mean, going into Boston and stealing 2 points is unheard of. And then backing it up, then, you know, two nights later in Nashville with a really good effort, getting a point. If they can, you know, have a similar showing in Tampa Bay and steal a point or two there, it'd be, again, people would be so excited. But I'm not optimistic. This Tampa team just got kind of embarrassed by Chicago the other night.
Yeah.
It's a tough building to play in on the best of times. I don't know. Flames are playing really good hockey, though. That's at the end of the day, I personally don't think people need to worry about them getting into the playoffs. I know it's tight, and I know every day is different, but the way they've been playing of late, Giordano's back. They bolstered their defensive depth. I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic if you're a Flames fan.
Eric, I want to get your thought on the goaltending, because, I mean, David Rittich has been lights out for the big part of the year. Last year, or last game, obviously last night, there was a few two for sure that he'd want back, and especially the tying goal there. Or maybe the second goal from Nashville, too. Your thoughts on goaltending and where they go from here? Labardia seemed to think it was going to be Cam Talbot tomorrow. Give me your sense of where the goaltending's at.
Yeah, I think I agree with you with both those last two goals. Riddick could have, you know, and he walked out of the dressing room last night. He kicked a big cable. It showed his frustration. I mean, he was furious, and I think he feels like it's on him. But, you know, this ridiculous road stretch that these guys are on right now where they're 12-5-1 or something of late, like on the road, it's just the most ridiculous success, and he's largely responsible for it. So, okay, so if he let in a bad one on Josi, it kind of squeezed through him, some bad luck. At the end of the day, you can't fault David Riddick. I would have started Cam Talbot. I would have bet you that Cam Talbot was going to start in Tampa no matter what anyway, just because of the workload. And you got to give Riddick one of those days off here in Florida. But at the end of the day, I think after that last game, it's easy to go to Talbot now, give Riddick that extra day's rest, and then play him in Florida where you have a much more winnable game than you do when you're going into Amalie Arena, because that's a tough place.
Especially with Tampa Bay losing four in a row, they're going to be alley. But, you know, Boston was alley too, because they lost 9-3 on national television in Vancouver, and the Flames were top drawer for that. But we'll see what happens. But I'm trying to think, Eric, they do not play back-to-back day games very often, do they? I mean, that doesn't happen.
No.
No, right?
No, and this team doesn't have a great record over the years.
No.
I'm talking over the last decade of afternoon games, because they're so foreign to this club. You know, when you play in the East and you're a team like Philadelphia, the Rangers, you play afternoon games with regularity, but this is different for the Calgary Flames. But again, they've had so much thrown at them this year on and off the ice. I feel like they're really starting to get pretty battle tested. And I really subscribe again to that whole theory that, you know, all the adversity they've faced this year will serve them well at some point in time, because they didn't face any last year until it was too late. And this year, I think that they're just a little more of a hardened group. So whether the game starts at 2, 4, 8, or noon, I just feel like this is a team that's really, really starting to find their way.
Resilient. You're doing double duty down in Florida. You're off to the NHL general managers meetings. Now, are those typically in season something that are interesting? Is it tough to kind of get your storylines? I mean, I know they're going to talk about emergency goalies and that kind of stuff, but what are you kind of looking for the GMs? And you know, they can't trade anybody right now, so what do you think's gonna happen?
I think, you know, when the general managers meet, you know, generally there's one early and there's one late that kind of have meeting, but this is kind of the one where no one even knows it's happening until it starts happening. And the only reason anyone knows it's happening is because the David Ayer situation, of course, will be addressed. And I got to tell you, I think that'll be the only thing of interest, of note, that'll come out of these 3 days of meetings. And don't get me wrong, I'm happy to be in Florida for 3 days to cover them, but I don't think they're going to cover much ground than that. And I just got to tell you, like, of all the takes out there on the whole David Ayer situation, the notion that this is an embarrassment and this can never happen again is absolutely the worst take I've heard this year in hockey. This is one of the best stories to happen to the NHL in decades. Decades. They've only had emergency goalies twice. Both guys, you know their names. Scott Foster and David Ayers. This is a better story than Alex Ovechkin hitting 700 goals. The NHL would beg to differ and would hate for me to say that, but I'm telling you right now, more people know about David Ayers than they do about Alex Ovechkin's goal chase right now. When you talk about people on the periphery, he's been on every show that there is, reaching out to audiences that the NHL couldn't have dreamt of reaching. So,
but Eric, is it the right message though for the NHL if you're trying to get, you know, that quasi hockey fan in Atlanta to watch again, when you say, well, they just put some 42-year-old guy to play a game? Or does that make the NHL look like a little bit of a joke?
No, it's ridiculous to say that it looks like a joke. It was an anomaly. It's twice in a lifetime that this has happened, and that's what makes it such a great story. And everybody understands the situation, and no one thinks that it cheapens the league or makes them look, you know, bad. I understand the argument that, hey, what if this was game 82 and, you know, the Leafs needed a win and this guy's a lifelong Leaf fan and he works for the organization? What if he just tanked? Well, A, nobody expected this guy to win a game. That was a miracle in itself. But there's a beauty to it that every guy in the world who ever laced on a pair of pads thinks, geez, that is just so awesome. That could have been me. Or they lived through that guy for the last week. Embarrassment is not the word. Entertainment is the word, okay? People so often forget and think that this business is all about wins and losses. Those people are terribly misguided. It's not about wins and losses at all. It's about entertainment. And that is entertaining as hell. During the game, during that broadcast, and the weeks that have followed, and David Ayers is just doing the loops, the TV circuit loops. It's just a phenomenal story. So, you know, some of the ideas that are going to be thrown out there is that, okay, we should have a third, you know, a full-time third stringer that's going to follow the team around. Okay, that's going to cost a lot of money, and it's also going to jeopardize jobs in the AHL. Like, if you're John Gillies, you want to hear about a guy who's a third stringer who's sitting around? I don't think that's a good idea. That's also going to cost a lot of money. And who pays for that? Ultimately, the fans. Any moves they make in this situation are just going to cost the fans. So anyone who's hoping that they get a more professional approach to this needs to understand that it costs a lot of money to have a system other than the one they have right now. It's not perfect, but it's kind of cool, and it's almost never, ever needed. So to me, this is much ado about nothing. I understand that they have to have that conversation, but I don't think that they have to do anything to change it. I really think that's ridiculously overkill.
It's Hockey Central at noon right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm Kelly Kirsch. It is 10 years ago to the day out in Vancouver, the golden goal. It was Sidney Crosby from Jerome Iginla to win Team Canada the gold medal over the Americans. Give me your thoughts on that amazing game and, you know, the Olympics back in Canada. Your thoughts on what you saw?
You know, so many fond memories, and I don't even want to be that guy to say, hey, I can tell you where I was when it happened, but I do have a funny story. But we had an infant, so I guess that's 10 years ago. She was only 2 years old, my daughter. And my wife and I were so engaged in watching the game. We were at the games in Olympics up until, I think, the last 2 days. We're watching that game. We're so engaged. And as it goes into overtime, all of a sudden my daughter emerges from the other room, and she's painted her whole face red with my wife's lipstick.
Oh, no.
And it was funny because it was symbolic that it was red, and then Canada won. We only noticed it after Sidney scored. But, you know, the neglect, we just left her alone for a long enough time that she could get into my wife's stuff and start painting her face without us noticing. We were that engaged in the situation. Anyway, you know, what a great moment. And I look forward to seeing what Elliot's thrown together for the Hockey Night broadcast on Saturday, where he sits down with Sid, watches the goal, and gets his thoughts and his memories on the moment. Because we all have our memories. I want to hear the guy who was right at the epicenter of it. And I know one of the interesting questions that Elliot asked him was, you know, what were you thinking as you were coming out of the corner and all that? I almost guarantee he's going to say, there was no time to think. I mean, it was just a hockey play where he threw it at the net and it went in. Let's be honest. It was a fluky goal. It was an ugly goal. Nobody cares. At the end of the day,
yeah,
it's our goal, our golden goal. And it is, I guess, shocking for you to think, geez, is that really 10 years ago now? It seems like yesterday.
Well, that's what, you know, people are. I just can't believe it was 10 years ago. And I told Labardius, don't think about where we're going to be in 10 years from now, because we'll go crazy. Guys our age, right? We're not going to do that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you've got something coming up. You know, you're always doing charity stuff, and you've got kind of a cool hot stove coming up at the Beltliner. Give us a little sense of what's happening.
Yeah, I appreciate that. March 11th at the Beltliner, we've got our charity hot stove that I've been doing for a number of years here. And this time, I think it's an interesting mix. Jeff Ward and Dave Dickinson, the two head coaches of the two big sports franchises in our city. And you know, Dickinson went to school to be a rocket scientist. I don't think a lot of people knew that. He's a really intelligent guy. I think people know that. Obviously, one of the great quarterbacks of our era and now coach. And he's got some great stories. He's a good friend of mine for a lot of years. And of course, Jeff Ward, he's a school teacher who suddenly is behind the bench as a head coach. So they're going to join us. Tickets are available. If you follow my Twitter feed, you can get the link there. It's all for Kidsport Calgary. So they have links there as well if you go to Kidsport Calgary. And it's March 11th and includes dinner, and it'll be an intimate chat. All phones are off, and we just have a lot of great stories that you wouldn't hear anywhere else. So
okay.
I really hope people come by and help out.
I got you. I want you to ask Didi a question. And because I've heard a few, and this is Hockey Central, but it's a football question. I keep hearing from kind of my inside people in the CFL that the coaches in the Canadian Football League have had it with the Canadian ratio, and they find it more and more tough to put a team together, and they want that ratio to come down. I want you to ask him that, because he may not answer kind of when we do it, but in a situation like that, he might.
You're right. Most of the talk is about these guys as people, but that's a question I will ask them, because we do get great, honest answers. There's stuff I remember Brian Burke telling me, thinking, boy, if anybody reported this right now, we'd have a bit of an issue on our hands. But yeah. That's the beauty of it. It's all off the record. It's all for charity, and it's a ton of fun. We've had a lot of fun with these, and I want to make sure that this one's another good one.
All right, that's March 11th. I don't want you to get you in trouble with the TSA down in the States, so we'll let you go, and we'll talk Monday for sure. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Kelly. Cheers, man.
There we go. Eric Francis and Eric Francis Fridays right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, brought to you by the Beltliner. It's that modern diner right off 12th Avenue there. Good stuff. If you want breakfast, that's good. You get to do lunch, dinner, and they got takeout from 4 till 10 nowadays. I'll tell you, breakfast is really good there. But you can get a nice big sandwich for lunch, too. I've never been disappointed there, so check them out as they are on 12th and 2nd, to be exactly. All right, we got a split. We talked about it, Logan. We've got an interview all queued up with Sidney Crosby as the guys in Toronto talked to him about the golden goal 10 years ago today, scores it against the Americans from Jerome McGinley. So we'll give Brian Burke the day off and let you hear from Sidney Crosby coming up next. And then Pat Steinberg is live as we do a little tennis, right? We're getting ready.
Yes, they're getting there. For
National
the
Bank
ACB,
Challenger.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. We'll see if Pat gets in trouble for talking too loud. That happened last time.
Yeah, I think that Pat mentioned that they're going to be elsewhere this time, so that hopefully it's not so much of an issue. But
put the guys in the bar. It'll be better if you do it that way. So that's coming up after 1 o'clock, and we've got Hitman Hockey for you on the radio today. 1 o'clock or 6 o'clock with Matt Rose, pregame show, and play-by-play goes at 7 against the Brandon Wheat Kings. And don't forget, early start, noon, we've got Flames Game Day Live. 1 o'clock, Flames warm-up from Hudson's in Shaughnessy, Canada's pub there. And then 2 o'clock, we got play-by-play for you, Flames and Lightning, as Will Nault fills in for Pat Steinberg tomorrow. Looking forward to that. So we'll hear from Sidney Crosby next right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Hockey Central at noon. Logan Gordon, Kelly Kirsch along with you this afternoon, getting you set for Pat Steinberg at 1 o'clock, reviewing the Flames and Preds from last night, looking ahead to a busy weekend. But it is the 10-year anniversary of the golden goal from Sidney Crosby, scored at the Vancouver Olympics. It'll be a feature with Elliot Friedman tomorrow night on Hockey Night in Canada. But he joined the guys in Toronto yesterday during Hockey Central to talk about the 10-year anniversary of the goal and what's happened to him ever since then. So here's Sidney Crosby on Hockey Central from Toronto yesterday.
Because now we are being joined by Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and also tomorrow is the 10-year anniversary of the Golden Goal, as we all know. Sid, thanks so much for doing this. How are you today?
Doing good, doing good. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years.
I'm curious, how many times have you – I had a few questions about that goal. How many times have you watched it, and what do you remember thinking – the moment you saw Ryan Miller sort of slide his hand up the stick and think about a poke check? I mean, we've all broken this thing down and try and say, well, this is what Sid is thinking. This is what Sid wants to do. Sid, what was all that?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't kind of seeked to watch it. I think it's something that pops up once in a while, and it's always fun seeing the goal. But as far as what I was thinking, I think, I just got into that area when, Jerome threw the puck, and I just wanted to make sure I got a shot away. I mean, there wasn't, I don't know if I saw his hand slide down the stick or if it was more just trying to make sure that I got a shot away. I think if I would have taken it to my backhand to the net, it might have got poked. So I just tried to make sure I got a quick shot away from that area.
Does that experience make you more passionate about the NHL and getting the players to the Olympics and the upcoming China Games? Is that something that has led you to believe that all these players need to have that unbelievable experience, or are you a little more understanding that it is difficult for the NHL in their season?
No, I think just because I've had two experiences there, and one being in Canada at home, which is pretty unique and special in its own right. But I think just the whole event itself, competing for your country, not only as a hockey player, but just for Team Canada, I think that's a pretty amazing experience. And obviously hockey's a big topic, with Canadians and wanting to be there, and the whole NHL, like you said. So I think it's great for everybody. I think it's great for the players. I think it's great for the fans. You want to see it there.
Sid, Stewie here. How's it going, buddy? How are you?
Good, good.
So here come the Grand Forks questions. All right, here we go.
Yeah, I tweeted some pictures from World Juniors back in the day. No big deal. But
I love it.
Yeah,
Obviously
I'm on the radio now doing some TV stuff, but I also coach young kids. And how important is your commitment to fitness to, play at a high level of hockey, especially when coming back from injuries? Because a lot of kids now, they're focusing on the on-ice skills and the skills part of it, but they're not really focusing on the gym. How important is that off-ice stuff? I know you've done some stuff with Andy O'Brien over the years, but how big is that commitment to fitness to being not just a good NHL player, but a superstar?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think it's something you're seeing that everyone's doing now. I mean, on and off the ice, everyone's always looking to gain that edge however they can. And I feel like there was a point where if, you were training hard off the ice, you might be, someone who's not typically doing that. But, I think now as a whole, whether it's teams or individual players, I think everyone's, paying a lot of attention to that. So, to find your edge, that's definitely the way to do it.
One more question about the golden goal, and then we'll move on to the Penguin stuff. But I am curious because I'm one of these people too. Oh, Sidney Crosby's coming on. My first instinct is it's a 10-year anniversary of the goal. I want to tell him where I was. Now, I think a lot of people have that with this goal specifically. It's sort of this Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner type motif. Do you find yourself, Sid, getting pulled aside by people that feel compelled to tell you where they were at all these big Sidney Crosby milestone events? And this may be, maybe being top of the list.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, specifically that one. I think just, when you hear that, it's really cool. I mean, we all share a passion for the game, and obviously, I'm lucky enough to play NHL, but I'm a fan of the game, and I remember, where I was for certain moments for games I watched or milestones and things like that. And it's a really cool feeling, and to know that you're a part of that, and the way it worked out was just unbelievable.
Okay, so last week, Sid, Elliot and I for the 31 Thoughts podcast sat down and talked to your head coach, Mike Sullivan, and you were a big topic of conversation. No surprise there. I want you to react to your coach talking about you. This is in an upcoming edition of 31 Thoughts podcast. This is Mike Sullivan.
Sid's a guy that wants to win. He looks for feedback. He likes the feedback, and we offer it to him. When it's good, we encourage. We encourage more of his play. When we think we need him to stop on more pucks or cut his skating down or stay closer to the puck or whatever it may be, we try to share those observations with him as well. But we've got a lot of respect for our players. But as I said, my commitment to them I was going to be straight up with them. I'll be honest with you guys, and we'll try to create a partnership here where we can try to problem solve and meet the challenges that this league ultimately presents.
You have a thought on your coach and how he described that relationship with you and the idea of feedback? And I would imagine too, Sid, that coaching Sidney Crosby has to be unique in that I would imagine some coaches would be scared to criticize you. Is your coach scared to criticize you?
No, I don't think. I think that, like you said, I think as a player, I think that's what you appreciate the most as a coach who's up front, and make sure they tell it as it is and you know where you stand, you know what's expected. I think that's all you can ask for as a player, and that it's consistent, he definitely, delivers in all those areas. And personally, I think, what I've always looked for is I want to continue to learn and I want to be challenged. And, if I feel like I'm getting better and I feel like I'm being challenged and getting the most out of myself, as an athlete, that's what you want. And how that fits kind of in the whole scope of the team, that's important too. But I think, that's I think if you're looking, you know, for traits from a coach, that's what you want.
On that theme of getting the most out of yourself, I think something that I've noticed throughout your career you do well is make others around you better. And I look at teams like Boston, they have a heavily loaded top line. Colorado tends to do the same. I often look at the Penguins lineup and you'll be paired up with some guys that maybe, you know, not superstars. It's not always Malkin. So are there particular ways that you try to make it easier on new players who maybe don't play as many minutes or don't play with superstars all the time?
I think just trying to communicate and read off each other, and it's always kind of a process. Every team plays different, and, you know, I think the strengths of your team and things like that always change. But, yeah, I think it's everyone buying into the way you need to play as a group, but, you know, how your skills kind of relate to that, trying to make that work. But, you know, it's always a process. I think you're always communicating, always trying to find ways to create, you know, whether it's in the zone or off the rush or, you know, special teams, all that stuff. So I think that's just the best way.
Your GM, Jim Rutherford, mentioned that as long as he has you and Evgeny Malkin, he's going to always go for the Stanley Cup. And how key are the additions of Jason Zucker and Patrick Marleau been so far?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, when you get additions like that, it's huge. I mean, depth's so important. You know, experience. Guys are going to bring a ton of energy, and I think you look at our division, how tight it is. Everyone seemed like they loaded up and believes they have a chance. So it's huge to add guys like that, and I think it sends a message to the group that you know, there's an expectation there, and we believe in you, and you know, they did everything that they've, you know, they can here to put us in a good spot, and we've got to go out there and perform.
Being joined by Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins on Hockey Central. As the years go on, Sid, whenever we do the bench shot on television, we see more and more of the top of your helmet. I'm curious, when you come off a shift, what do you grab first, the water bottle or the iPad?
The water bottle, I think. But the iPad, it's a dangerous tool. you know, I don't think the coaches love it, but I think sometimes they'd rather guys just put it away and go out there and play. And I think as a player, sometimes you want to, you know, things are happening so fast. You want to see what, you know, what that read was, or if it, you know, if it looked the same way it felt on the ice. And I think, you know, special teams, especially the, you know, the power play, if you can make a quick little adjustment, you know, within the period, I think it's got a lot of use that way, but probably look at it more than I should. Should probably put it away.
Well, you know what though, because we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago on TV doing one of your games. And you look at yourself and you're on the bench and the guys are around you, and it almost feels as like, look, Crosby's coaching these guys now. Like to Justin's point, new players come in. This is Sidney Crosby showing these guys how we play in Pittsburgh. Is that accurate?
The odd time. I mean, usually it's more just for my own use. But if, you know, sometimes a guy will come off and say, you know, what happened there? Or, you know, say, what did you see there? And, you know, it's something we can talk through quick. Especially if you're playing with somebody new, but for the most part, you know, most times it's just me looking at it. But if someone else, you know, wanted to look at it or see that same play, usually it's when you miss a great chance and you just want to see what you did wrong. So it's usually when you're looking at it.
One of the things that caught my ear recently was Ryan Whitney was called you a, what was it, a first line grinder. And I'm just wondering the evolution of your game over the years, if you feel you play different, or even the concept of being a first line grinder. Do you see yourself as that?
I don't know. I think work ethic and, you know, trying to create different ways, whether it's, you know, creating turnovers, you know, I would say that, you know, just having a hard-working mentality is definitely high up on the list for me. You know, I like to play fast. Sometimes I like to slow it down. For the most part, I like to play pretty fast and aggressive. So I would say that's similar to kind of a grinding mentality. We're trying to force things. But, I like to have a combination of both, that's for sure.
We discussed the 10-year anniversary of the Golden Goal, but I'm more interested in the 16-year anniversary of the World Junior Championships, where we defeated Ovechkin and the Russians. You know, I still tell the stories all the time, probably one of the highlights of my career. Do you have any memories of that, Sid?
Yeah, I was babysitting you a lot of that.
Save that for Chicklets.
You know what? That was just an awesome group of guys, and
just the way that, you know, just the way how motivated we were after the year before to have all those guys return, and just an awesome group. Just love seeing all those guys we crossed paths, and it was pretty cool. Obviously, some of the guys that played in that team were on the Olympic team, so not that far removed. You know, you're going from World Juniors to the Olympics, and you know that group. It's pretty awesome group.
Best junior hockey team ever assembled. Sid, I want to end on a couple of things. I wanted to ask you about the Crosby camp, which I understand is back. But first, for me, the play of the year happened with you. Surprise. It was a game against Minnesota. Your play behind the net, and then somehow you found Dominic Simone when nobody else saw him. Do you ever get surprised at what you do out there, or are you in total control all the time? And what do you remember from that play?
I just remember thinking that, you know, I had a step going behind the net, and I thought that, you know, I think it was Donato. I think he was, you know, kind of a step behind. So I figured he might try to lunge, you know, when I had that step, and he ended up lunging. So I thought I might be able to beat him the other way. And then when I came around the net, I was just looking for a lane, and there's a lot of skates, and goalie sometimes likes to take those tight passes to the net away. So I was just trying to find a hole to get it to the, you know, to the backside of the post there. And Dom didn't have a great angle, but he made a great shot.
To me, it's the play of the year. Crosby camp, I understand it's back.
Yeah. It's always fun. I mean, the kids have so much energy, and it's a great way for, you know, everyone in the community to kind of get together, and we get kids from all over the world. So, you know, we've had a great experience with it. We get a ton of help with volunteers, which is huge. But, try to be there, you know, as much as I can. And every time I go there, it just, you know, it's a lot of fun to be around those kids.
Last time the Crosby camp was hot, Pittsburgh Penguins won the Stanley Cup. No pressure, Sid. On that, we'll let you go. You're being very generous with your time. I know you have lots to get to. Best of luck the rest of the way and into the playoffs, Sid. We'll catch up soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
There he is, Sidney Crosby, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Tomorrow, the 10-year anniversary of the Golden Goal.
Yes, there you go. Sidney Crosby with Hockey Central in Toronto. Yesterday, today is the 10-year anniversary of the Golden Goal scored in Vancouver. That'll do it for Hockey Central here in Calgary. Coming up next, Pat Steinberg taking you through the 1 o'clock hour. Ryan Pinder joins at 2. Calgary Hitmen on your hockey, on your radios, excuse me, later on today. Matt Rose with your Hitmen Hockey pregame show at 6. Puck drop at 7 against Brandon with Brad Curl and Jeff Hollick. All that and more coming up here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.